Glory be to God. Hallelujah. There's a couple more lessons we're going to have to back up in the next two Sundays. We'll back up and we'll get to those two lessons. But today the Holy Spirit has shown me to jump forward here in our lessons in the book of Proverbs. Hoo-wee! Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I preached some joy right into my own life here this morning. Amen. We bless the nation of Israel. In Jesus' name, we say, Israel, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed, in Jesus' strong name. That's how you do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 122, 6 through 9 says, God will bless you for blessing them. I don't have time to pray for Israel. Well, you don't have time to be blessed. Amen. All you have to do is say, be blessed. We like to take it a little further, and we like to say, Israel, we speak peace into your walls and your palaces, into your military and spiritual, religious and political leaders. We speak peace and blessing into their life, peace amongst your people. Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. But you can just say, Israel, be blessed, and get the job done too. Amen. You know, to be blessed, that's asking God to bring the Jews to the foot of the cross. That's when you impart a blessing to someone and you say, God bless you, you're actually saying, be blessed, spirit, soul, and body. That's what that word blessed means. You're asking God to bless them in every realm of their existence. So when you say, Israel, be blessed, you're praying for revelation of the Messiah for them. Because they can't be blessed spiritually without that revelation. You're asking God to bring every Jew to the foot of the cross. When you say, Israel, be blessed. And that's why God says, oh, I love when he preaches like that.
Amen.
You think God doesn't slap himself on the thigh and get excited when his children preach good? Well, he does. Ain't no deadbeat. He gets happy. He taps his foot. He slaps his thigh. He jumps and shouts. Amen. We're created in his image and likeness. Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah. If God anoints men and women to shout, such as he's anointed your pastor to shout, don't you think he shouts? My father's a shouter! That's where I got it. Hallelujah. You have other traits and attributes that came from your father. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Where are we? Proverbs chapter 3. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We're not going to be afraid in this place. Say no fear. Goodbye, fear.
Goodbye, fear.
Hello, faith.
Hello, faith.
I'm telling you, 2008 is going to be a year of faith in this place. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Say, I love faith.
I love
faith.
I love faith.
I'm going to get me one of them words like Pastor John got and put that in my house.
Amen.
Faith. You ought to get one of these over at the Christmas tree shop for $4.99. Amen. Hallelujah. Get the word faith and hang it on your refrigerator. Amen. What does faith mean to Barbara? The Father's attitude in the heart. F-A-I-T-H. You can also say the Father's attributes in the heart. God is the God of faith. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. You hear that? Without faith it's impossible to please Him. That's why we preach faith around here, because we want to be pleasing to God. We want you to be pleasing to God, because we want to see you receiving as proficiently from God as He desires for you to receive. And you can't do that without faith.
Amen.
Thank you, Barbara. Amen for that vote of confidence. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm sure you speak for everyone. Hallelujah. Amen. 2008. Oh, I'm glad 2007 is over. Amen. We took some heat in 2007. Amen. Hallelujah. 2008 is going to be great. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2007, we dealt with some leaven. And not in our own lives, in the lives of other people. Amen. Jesus called sin leaven. Amen. Unbelief leaven. Hallelujah. Get anything out of this yet? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Fullness of the blessings coming. Amen. It's going to be a year of faith, a year of increase in numbers, increase in your faith. I'm going to make sure that your faith increases. Amen. All you have to do is show up. All you have to do is show up. And I'll infuse you with faith. Amen. We can't all study the way that I can. Amen. can't all study and pray full time the way that a pastor or a ministry leader can. Amen? So in essence, we're doing it for you. Now, that's no excuse to not do any at all. Get in the Word as much as you can. Amen? And I'll back you up. Amen? Hallelujah. You can read one verse a day, can't you? Amen? It'll take you 953,000 years to get through Scripture if you do that. But it's better than not reading anything at all. Amen? You can read a couple of verses every day. Amen? Go for a chapter in 2008. Amen? Even if it takes you the whole year to accomplish it. Don't quit until you got the job done. A chapter a day. In the New Testament. Not the Old Testament. If you can't do a lot of Bible reading, what Bible reading you do, do it in the New Testament. Because that's the dispensation of righteousness. That's the dispensation we live under right now. You go reading under the Old Testament, that's the dispensation of condemnation. You'll end up living in condemnation. People who hang out in the Old Testament all the time don't even like themselves. Never mind everybody else not liking them. Because they're in the presence of condemnation all the time. You need to temper Old Testament reading with New Testament reading. Or, if you don't have a whole lot of reading time, read the New Testament. And by the way, I wasn't going to get into it today, but the Gospels aren't in the New Testament. That's a sacrilege in some people's thinking. Amen? The New Testament didn't begin until Jesus rose from the dead. It's His last will and testament. Amen? A testament doesn't go into effect, Paul said, without the death of the testator. Jesus was alive in the Gospels. They're part of the Old Testament. Amen? They're good, but they're not the New Testament. The book publishers put them in with the New Testament, and they separate the old and the new between Malachi and Matthew, but that's not what the Holy Spirit has done. A will does not go into effect without the death of the testator. Paul said it. The New Testament begins when Jesus rose from the dead, at the beginning of the book of Luke and at the end of the book of Luke and the beginning of the book of Acts. Amen? Is it good? Is it good? Tell me. Tell me it's good. Hallelujah. I don't want to upset your theology. You know, I know I come in here a lot and kick over sacred cows. Don't want to be getting in trouble. Amen? But I want to help you. Amen? Read Paul's epistles. I mean, read the Gospels. They're wonderful. Don't get me wrong. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, we'll go on to the prepared. Must remain dignified. Proverbs chapter 3. My children, hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that? The Gospels are part of the Old Testament. Amen? Actually, they overlap. John's ministry closed out the Old Testament. Jesus' ministry began the New Testament. They actually overlapped. Amen? But the New Testament doesn't. The New Testament. That's why it's called the New Testament. It's the last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. The testament doesn't go into effect until the death of the testator. Amen? Jesus didn't die at the end of the Gospels. So the Gospels aren't really in the New Testament. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin used to say, you're looking at me like a calf looks at a new gate. What in the world is this? This wasn't here before. Now I have to deal with this. You can handle that. Amen? Because you're faith people. Amen? And if it's truth, you want to know it. Amen? Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to pick it up in verse 24 today. We'll go back next week and back up a few verses, and we'll talk about some other things like discipline. Woo! Maybe I shouldn't have said that. You'll be here, won't you, next week to hear, whom the Lord loveth, He disciplineth. Amen? It's good. It's going to be good. Amen? Today we're going to be talking about fear and faith. Proverbs 3:24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. God doesn't want you going to bed scared. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked, when it cometh. And it'll come. Amen? Even though God's not giving you the spirit of fear, He's giving you power, love, and a sound mind. Fear will come to you. But you don't have to receive it when it does. Amen? For the Lord shall be thy confidence. Of course, His Word will be your confidence. That's the only way to know God is through His Word. You can't know God apart from His Word. And shall keep thy foot from being taken. Amen? Listen, the body of Christ today is overflowing with individuals who call themselves believers, but they live in absolute fear. Fear of flying. Fear of going out. Fear of... Well, there's just so many different phobias. Fear of dying. Fear of getting sick. Fear of driving. Fear of stepping out and operating in the gifts of the Spirit. The body of Christ, unfortunately, is guilty of yielding to fear more than we yield to faith. And fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is confidence in the devil's ability to put you under. Faith is confidence in God's ability to put you over. We're people of faith. We're not people of fear. And that's why I'm decreeing that 2008 is a year of increased faith for those of you who come to this church and submit to my leadership. Amen? I'm dedicated to the teaching of faith. Committed to developing my own faith and helping you get some too. Amen? Because faith is what it's all about. And faith is what it's going to be all about around here in 2008. Amen? Nowhere in the Scripture are we ever instructed to fear anything at any time for any reason. Over 80 times in Scripture, God Himself said, "Fear not, or thou shalt not fear." Amen? Fears of the devil. Comes from the devil. Satan, when he used to be an aide to Jehovah, he knew how to operate in faith. He was a personal aide to Jehovah God before he fell. But when he did fall, his faith in God became perverted and turned into fear of God. And rightly so. He messed up. He goofed up. Bad. And he's taken that perverted faith, he's taken that fear, and he's done everything in his power, in his ability, even as a fallen being, to mess people up with fear, to get them in fear. Every faith failure is a fear failure. Fear. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to God and I've said, "Father, why is that person doing that?" Fear, he'd say to me, fear. "Oh yes, fear, it's rooted in fear, I see. Yes, they're out of faith, they're involved in fear, the opposite of faith. Why did this one do this to me? Or why did they do that to themselves? Why did that..." Fear. 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 One demon spirit, fear, is at the root of every faith problem. Satan did everything. He went into the garden and got Adam and Eve to disobey God, so that he could spread that fear that came into his heart through his rebellion and disobedience, to do everything he could to get back at God for throwing him out of heaven for his rebellion. He couldn't get to God. He couldn't get to the throne of God. So he went after the thing that is closest to God's heart. You, me, man, creation, the apex of all creation is man. He went after God's heart. Went after Adam, went after Eve. He tempted them to sin and to turn their backs on God and to disobey Him. And that's when fear came into humanity. When they bowed their knee to Satan, his trickery, his deception, his rebellion, when they disobeyed God and obeyed Him, they bowed their knee to Satan and they assumed his nature. We assume the nature of whomever we bow our knee to. We bow our knee to God, we become like God. We bow our knee to Satan, we become like Satan. You get anything out of this? Amen? You become like whomever you bow your knee to. Amen? Well, Jesus came and fixed that stinking mess. That mess of fear. Amen? He came as our Redeemer. He bought us back. Amen? And He didn't just get us forgiveness for what we've done. He put us back in a position of dignity and dominion before God and over Satan. And that's why the Bible says, that's why Paul told young Pastor Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, he said, "For God hath not given you or us the spirit of fear, but He's given us power and love in a sound mind." Not a rattled mind, not a disturbed soul, not a tormented soul. Power, love, and a sound mind in Christ Jesus. Fear is not of God. Never does God instruct His family to fear Him. Never. But Pastor, my Bible says that we ought to fear God. Well, why don't you get a concordance and look some words up, dummy? Not you, but the person who said that. Amen? We won't name names today. Look it up. It says awesome reverence. We ought to have an awesome reverence for God. When God tells us to fear Him, that's a translation problem. You can go look that original word up. Every time you see in the Bible instruction to fear God, you ought to get a concordance on your computer so you can right-click on these words and they come right up in your face and they're properly interpreted. I click on that word fear in my Bible and it says awesome respect. Reverence. Have reverence for God. Have an awesome respect for Him, but never fear Him. God doesn't want us to fear. I'm decreeing a fear-free year over the gathering at Cape Cod in 2008. No more fear. That's God's will for you. If we can get you out of fear, we can get you into faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to Exodus chapter 14 if you would. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Old Testament saints did some powerful things. Encountered some powerful problems. I'm going to look at some saints in the Old Testament who encountered powerfully complex situations but refused to get into fear and to have confidence in God. You know, that's all faith is confidence in God. That's really all it is. It's really all faith is having confidence that God will do what He said He will do. Amen? It's confidence that God will do what He says He will do. Did you go to Exodus chapter 14? I want to look over here at Moses. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No more yielding to the old nature of fear. Not around here. We don't put up with it. Amen? Hallelujah. If you call me on the telephone now, bawling and squalling, and I know that you're in fear, I'm going to get on you for it. Amen? Amen? I'm going to get on you like white on rice. Amen? Aren't I? Hallelujah. Most faith failures are rooted in fear. Amen? I'm just going to take authority. You call me, even if you're in fear, you call me. I'll get it off you. But I'll run it off. Amen? I'll take a hard run at it with you with the Word of God. We'll break the power of that stinking mess right off your life. It's not God's will for you to be afraid, ever, for anything, at any time. Now, there's a natural fear. That doesn't... Don't go walk the guy wires on the George Washington Bridge. There's a natural fear that will keep you from doing stupid things in the natural. Amen? Amen? Don't go driving down the road and put a blindfold on and drive down the freeway blind just to prove you're not afraid. But we know you're not afraid, but we know you're also stupid. Amen? That's not the kind of fear I'm talking about. There's a natural fear that God puts on the inside of us so we'll protect ourselves from accidents, incidents, and injuries. Amen? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being afraid of God. I'm talking about being afraid of the devil. I'm talking about being afraid of failure. He doesn't want you to be afraid. He doesn't want you to be afraid of demons. He doesn't want you to be afraid of angels. He doesn't want you to be afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. He doesn't want you to be afraid of His presence. He doesn't want you to be afraid of His glory. He doesn't want you to be afraid of His power. He doesn't want you to be afraid!
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm such a dignified man. Hallelujah. But I do get my points across, don't I? Amen? You will not go home today saying, "What was he talking about, honey?" Amen? Because honey will just say, "Fear! God doesn't want you to be afraid!" Hallelujah. I do what I do on purpose. Amen? Hallelujah. Pardon me? So it sinks right in. I don't even let it sink in, Brother Maurice. I drive it in. I don't wait for that sinking sensation. Amen? Hallelujah. I'll bring it on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, Moses found himself in a situation over here in Exodus 14 where he's just led. Now, some people say there were 3.5 million Israelites that were led out of Egypt. But I did a study on all the miracles of the Bible. You'll be seeing it soon. We're going to get it in here in syllabus form. It's in three syllabies. Amen. Barbara will confirm this for you. I did nothing but study the miracles of the Bible for a whole year and then preach on them for a whole year. That's all I did was study the miracles of the Bible. Every single miracle. And the Holy Spirit gave me supernatural revelation and showed me how to categorize every miracle of the Bible into one of 12 headings. I'd never seen that before till the Holy Spirit showed me every miracle in the Bible can come under one of 12 categories. He showed me the 12 categories. And then supernaturally graced me to list every single miracle of the Bible under those 12 categories and then do a lesson on each one. And I discovered, now I did the math, I did the homework. Some people teach that there were 3.5 million Israelites who came out of Egypt. I discovered, I just put the pencil to it right in my own Bible, and I found there's over 6 million Jews came out of Egypt. Well, I shouldn't say Jews, people, 6 million people. Because anybody who wanted to covenant with God the way that God required Israel to covenant with him could come too as part of Israel. 6 million plus people screaming, babies crying, women freaked out, men and their cattle. And their cattle. Imagine everybody just taking two cows with them. Oh, Lord. And Moses was given the assignment to lead them out into the desert. Imagine yourself being in that situation. Listen, Moses refused to get into fear. Amen. He got them out there, and just when they thought that they had it made, they thought that they were free, all of a sudden they encountered the Red Sea right before them, the mountains to the left, mountains to the right, and they were impassable. The sea was impassable. And then all the chariots of Israel, of Egypt, the entire Egyptian army shows up behind them to wipe them all out of existence. You think that wouldn't have freaked you out? You're defenseless. You, the wife, the kids, the cattle. And here comes the greatest military force in the world at the time to come and annihilate you. The people begin to cry out. In verse 13, look right here in Exodus 14, 13, we're talking about fear. Moses said unto the people, instruction number one, fear not. Please say that. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. First thing he did was take a hard run at fear. And you will see the salvation of the Lord today, which he will show to you. What gift of the Spirit is that? God's about to show you something. Word of wisdom. Revelation of the immediate future. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Word of wisdom. Are you with me? He said, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, in essence, what do you mean I'll fight for you? Use your faith is what God's saying. The Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? You know, there's a time to stop praying and start acting in faith. Amen. Quit the bawling and the squalling and the praying out the book of Lamentations. And get in faith. James said, faith without works is dead. Amen. What are you crying unto me for, Moses? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Stop praying and move forward by faith. Lift up thy rod. Stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Well, what do you think about that? That's a word of wisdom from God. God operates in the gifts of the Spirit. Animals can operate in the gifts of the Spirit, as we saw with Balaam's ass. Balaam's ass operated in discerning of spirits and saw into the spirit realm. Balaam's ass operated in the working of miracles. Spoke with the voice of a man, Peter said. Angels operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Human beings operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And God operates in the gifts of the Spirit. Jesus operates in the gifts of the Spirit. And so does God the Father, Jehovah God. Here's God giving a prophetic word right here, amen? Now you know that, but look at all Moses had was an old rod. You look up that word rod, right click on it on your computerized Bible, which you need to believe God for, amen, for Christmas next year. Get yourself the Bible on your laptop, on your desktop, so you can right click on some words and get some definitions and interpret this for yourself, amen? That word is branch. Branch. God said, use that branch, Moses. Use that branch like a walking stick, an old branch off an old tree. He didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling within. He didn't have the name of Jesus like you do. He didn't have the baptism with the Holy Spirit. He didn't even have a Bible. Not even an Old Testament. It wasn't written yet. He was one of the authors of it. He was operating completely and entirely in confidence in his direct relationship with God. God speaking to him through an audible voice from time to time. He didn't have a covenant with God like you do. He wasn't even a son or a daughter of God like you are. He was a servant of God. You got Moses beat hand down. He didn't operate in fear. This was one of the greatest crises in the world occurring right here. Moses didn't get into fear. You don't have to get into fear. Moses had not had the Spirit of Christ imparted to him. You have it imparted to you. Fear is to have no place in you. Amen? Amen? Well, glory be to God. It excites me. He had no Bible teachers. He didn't have Pastor John shouting at him. He's on his own. And look what God did for him. Amen? Through a little branch. He had no scripture that said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Did you hear that? I am the vine, ye are the branches. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you stay in union with me, he said, the things that you've seen me do, you can do too. Only greater things you can do. Because I go to the Father to send you the Holy Spirit that's upon my life. When I get back to heaven, He'll come off of me and come all over you. And you'll do even greater works than I did. Moses didn't have that promise. You do. Amen? We don't have to be afraid. Amen? Glory be to God. I'm going with God this year. I'm going with the Holy Spirit. I'm not afraid of no devil. I'm not afraid of no devil. Shh, He'll hear you, Pastor John. I want Him to hear me. I want him to understand that I'm building my life on Colossians 2:15, which says that Jesus defeated him, triumphed over him, and made a show of him openly. He's already defeated. He ain't going to be defeated. He already is defeated. He's a defeated foe. Jesus made a show of him openly. You know what that really means when he made a show of them, of demon powers openly, what Paul was saying? He was referring to an ancient practice when one army defeated another army, they would take the defeated army captive, take their pants off of them, and march them through that town with their bare behinds, making a show of them openly. That's what Paul was referring to. He shamed Satan and demon powers openly. Amen? He took his pants off them and marched them right through downtown eternity and made a fool out of him, the way ancient kings used to make fools and openly shame their victims. Hebrews 2:14 says that Jesus defeated him who had, past tense, the power of death. That those of us who were once held in bondage by the fear of death wouldn't have to fear him anymore. Colossians 2:15, Hebrews 2:14. Luke 10:19, he said, behold, I give you power over all the ability of Satan and demon powers, and nothing shall by any means harm you if you use your faith and not let it harm you. This is good preaching. I'm hot today. This is good preaching. 1 John 3:8 says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He's already done it. He's already done it. And all we don't have to fight with the devil. We don't have to stay up all night battling back the devil in our prayer fatigues, in our pajamas that look like prayer fatigues, you know, and we war all night in other tongues, angry tongues at the devil. What are you doing? I'm fighting the devil. I'm warring with the devil. You don't have to war with the devil. He's already defeated. You can't redo what Jesus has already done. All we do is enforce His defeat. That's why Jesus said, occupy until I come. We're an occupational force in the earth. Just like we're no longer at war with Germany, the United States, but we're an occupational force over there in Germany to make sure that they don't row their ugly heads and try that trash again. I'm talking about demon spirits through German people, not German people. Do you hear what I'm saying? We're an occupational force. America is an occupational force in Japan to make sure that that imperialistic spirit never rises up again. But we're not at war with them. We're enforcing their defeat. We do it very diplomatically. Amen? We do it in a very generous way. But we're still an occupational force. And that's what Jesus was saying when he said, occupy till I come. Don't war with the devil. I've whipped the fire out of him for you. I just put him down under your foot and hold him there by his neck in Jesus' strong name. And you tell him, there'll be no accidents. There'll be no incidents. There'll be no injuries. None of my children will go to hell. You ain't messing with my finances. You ain't messing with my body. You're not messing with my family. Don't mess with me on the job. I've got favor. If anybody over there is going to be promoted this year, it's going to be me. Me, 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 me.
Amen.
Talk to him like that. But not in the mall or anything. Do it in the car when you're alone. Amen? Hallelujah. You get my drift. I'm very aggressive with the devil. Hallelujah. You don't have to be. You can just tell him. You just tell him. Amen? I'm just a real kind of an upbeat kind of a guy, as I always say. That's just part of my mystique. Listen, we got more than Moses ever dreamed of having as far as authority over Satan and demon powers. And look what that man did. With a branch. With a branch, a stick. You know that stick turned into a serpent three times and back into a rod three times? That word serpent is actually river monster. Moses' rod turned into a crocodile. Egypt worshipped crocodiles. And God was showing him, Moses was showing him, look, every time that rod, he threw it down, it turned into a crocodile. He was saying, my God made your God. And now my God eats your God. Amen? Hallelujah. Moses did tremendous miracles with that stick. He turned water to blood. He produced lice, hail, fire, locust, water. What else? Frogs. Amen. He produced water with it. He hit a rock with it and water came out and gave drink to 6 million plus people plus their cattle. And they found that rock, by the way. That rock is presently in the desert, in Sinai, with all kinds of holes blasted in it from the inside out that they said could only be done by some sort of hydraulic pressure from the inside out. You go look at that rock. Amen? He really did it with his little branch. Well, you are the branch. That branch is a type of the body of Christ. We've got power, and we're going to be walking in that power in 2008. Amen? Say, I will not fear. We have a better covenant with God than Moses had. Amen? Moses produced results. You, too, will produce results, better results, than you ever have at any time in all of your history. We're just going to have to move quickly here today. Jump up over here, if you would. Glory be to God. Let's go over here to 2 Kings chapter 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said through Jeremiah, he said, behold, I am the Lord God, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? God said, I'm the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Is it too hard for God to get you out of debt? Is it too hard for God to produce for you? That's easy for me to say. To produce for you a financial harvest by you planting financial seed. Is it too difficult? Is it too difficult for God to save your loved ones? He said, I'm the God of all flesh. Is anything? He said, go ahead, think of something. Think of something. Think of something that's too tough for me. I dare you. I double dog dare you to think of something too tough for me, the Father's saying to you today. You cannot possibly, we cannot possibly come up with anything that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost can't handle when they put that three heads together. Not a thing. He said, I'll provide the means of escape, and if there is no means of escape, I will create one for you. Hallelujah. Over here, where did I ask you to go? We're talking about not fearing. Amen? We're talking about making the decision to not live in fear. 2008. Did I mention this is my New Year's message? 2008 is to be... Barbara didn't catch it. It's all right. Some of us it takes a little longer. I'll mention it again throughout the message so that you don't miss it, Barbara. Amen. It's a little joke Barbara and I have going on. Amen. Hallelujah. She doesn't miss a beat. Amen. And she lets me know it from time to time, too. Amen. We're talking about getting in faith for 2008. This is going to be a year of faith, not fear, a faith of increase, a year of increase, a year of faith, a year of promotion, a year of supernatural debt elimination, if you can believe it. Can you believe that? Increase in miracles, increase in power gifts, increase in the gift of faith. We're seeing it now. These folks, those of you who are showing up for the Gifts of the Spirit series, as we're learning the gifts of the Spirit, you begin to operate in them in astounding, astounding ways. This is how it's supposed to be. These gifts aren't to just be in operation when we come together in church. When we go out of here, we're supposed to be operating in the gifts of the Spirit out in the world. That's how we're supposed to be living. The gift of faith is supposed to be common in our lives. The working of miracles, gifts of healings, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. They're supposed to be commonplace. This is how we are to be living as God's family. And we're going to even more in 2008. I'm doing my job in preaching, in teaching. Amen. One guy walked up to Brother Copeland and said, Kenneth Copeland, man, you're doing one hell of a job. Brother Copeland said, I didn't rebuke him because I knew what he meant. Amen? You're doing one hell of a job. I'm doing my job, kicking the slats out of hell, out of the forces of hell. You're doing your job believing. I see it. And God will continue to do His job, confirming. It's going to be a year of supernatural confirmation because it's going to be a year of supernatural faith imparted to you. By me, supernatural faith released by you to heaven, and supernatural confirmation from heaven to you. And I'm talking by the Spirit of God. Amen? That's what we came here to do. Amen? That's what you came here for. Look at right here in Elijah, in Elisha's life in 2 Kings chapter 6. Before we go over there, let me just give you a quick little narrative. We don't have any time left. Amen? Hallelujah. Where'd the time go? Hallelujah. Have I been preaching all this time? How do I do it? How do I do it? The king of Syria kept coming against Israel. And every time they went to set up ambushments against the nation of Israel, the Holy Spirit would show the prophet Elisha where the Syrian army was going to be. Elisha would show it to the king of Israel and then move out of the way. And it was frustrating the king of Syria. Every time he went to attack Israel, they'd be gone. They were there one day and gone the next. And the king of Syria called his people together and said, who amongst us is rotten to the Israelites? And somebody in his camp said, nobody is. They got a prophet over there, and the Holy Spirit shows the prophet all of your plans that you make in your bedchamber. And the prophet goes to the king of Israel, and they thwart your plans every time. And the king of Syria said, get that man. Get that man, bring him to me. Off with his head. He sent out the entire Syrian army to surround the city of Dothan, where Elisha was hanging out with his personal aide, Gehazi, surrounded the whole city to get that one man, the entire army, to get the prophet Elisha. And Gehazi woke up in the morning, Gehazi, however you want to say his name, and he saw all the chariots of Israel, all of Syria, all the army of Syria, all around the city that they were in. There was no way in and no way out. And Gehazi began bawling and squalling. What are we going to do? Look what Elisha said to him. When Gehazi said, what are we going to do? 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 I receive phone calls like that. 2 Kings 6:16. He answered Gehazi. He said, what did he say? What did Moses tell Israel? What is Elisha telling Gehazi? What am I telling you? What is God telling us? Fear not, he said, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Open his eyes that he may see. Open his eyes that he may see. He's calling for a discerning of spirits to go into operation here. Amen. The Lord did as Elisha prayed. He opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw into the spirit realm. Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What gift is that in operation right there? Discerning of spirits. Why is it discerning of spirits? Because God enabled Gehazi to see into the spirit realm. And he can cause you, like he's caused me, to see in the spirit realm when you need to, in order for him to provide protection and provision for you. Amen? Hallelujah. And when they came to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord. And he said, smite these people, I pray thee, with blindness, God. And God smote him with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. Now hold on a second there. That's overriding the laws of nature, isn't it? What gift is that? That's the working of miracles. God causing them to not see. It's the working of miracles because the laws of nature are being overridden, but it's the gift of faith because God's doing it for him. He asked God to do it for him, not through him. So it's the gift of faith and the working of miracles working together like the colors of the rainbow. It's impossible to separate them here, but we see them both working closely together. Don't we? Isn't it wonderful to learn about the gifts of the Spirit? So you can know what you're reading about in the Bible. God smote him with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, you're going the wrong way. You're in the wrong city. Follow me. I'll bring you to the man whom ye seek. And he led them right into Samaria. Now, he didn't deceive them. He wasn't lying to them. They kept lying to them. They came after Elisha because Elisha kept showing the king of Israel how to escape. What they wanted was the king of Israel. So Elisha said, I'll bring you to the man you've been looking for all along. And he brought him to the king of Israel. And when they got there, you know what Elisha prayed? Open their eyes, let them see again. Open their eyes, let them see again. And they were right in the midst of Samaria. And Elisha, the king of Israel said, shall we kill them? Shall we kill them all now? And Elisha said, no, sit them down. Give them something to eat. Let them go. They'll never bother us again. And that's what happened. They fed them. They let them go. And Syria stopped harassing Israel. Faith works by love. Amen? Hallelujah. Unfortunately, you couldn't always do it that way in the Old Testament because of the debt. You're dealing with too many deadbeats. But listen, Elisha had no Bible. He had no Jesus, no indwelling Holy Spirit, just like you and me. He just refused to get into fear and call God a liar. That's what we're going to do in 2008. Can I have that Amplified Bible? I want to read something to you in closing. Amen. I believe you got something out of this here today. Amen. The first thing Moses told the people of Israel was, don't get into fear. When it comes to us, and what do we say, Barbara?
No fear.
I will not fear. I will not fear. You get a bad report in the mail, bad report by telephone. You open your mouth, you say, first thing you say, just like Moses, just like Elisha, fear not, you say, I will not fear. Let's say that. I will not fear. Say it again. I will not fear. And don't you think that after a message like this that the devil's not going to take a hard run at you and try you on for size to try to get you right back into fear where he wants you. And don't you think he's not going to take a hard run at me and Barbara. So you pray for us. We'll pray for you. We'll take authority over him. We'll maintain our authority over him. He's a toothless nothing. We'll tell him, we will not fear. We don't receive this evil report. We'll maintain a good report. We will prosper. We will go up and over. There will be increase in numbers in this congregation this year. There will be increase in miracles, increase in salvations, increase in finances, increase in property attained, increase in supernatural debt reduction, increase in favor and promotion for you, 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 you.
Amen.
If you go out of here today expecting 2008 to be a year of the fullness of God's blessing. Whoo, I came on strong today. Hebrews chapter 10, amen. I'm just going to read it to you. We're going to sing a song, have a prayer, and then we're going to be dismissed. Say, I will not fear. Say, I will not fear. Now say it like you mean it. I will not fear. I want the men to say, I'm a man of faith. Say it like you mean it. I'm a man of faith. Now I want the women to say, I'm a woman of faith.
I'm a woman of faith.
Now say it like you mean it. I'm a woman of faith. Now let's say it together. I will not fear. I am a man of faith. Look right here. Hebrews chapter 10:35 in the Amplified Bible. Oh, glory be to God. Increase, increase, increase. Soboreke desiki peredeshte. Increase, increase, increase. In 2008, that we will not fear what it holds. We will rejoice in what it holds in Jesus' name. We are anticipating acceleration. We are unleashing expectation, not fear, in Jesus' name. Now there will be, and I speak to you by the Spirit of God, there'll be great natural tragedies in 2008. There'll be great natural, there'll be tremendous tragedies in the name of Jesus. But we will not fear, because we are subject to a higher economy. And those tragedies that occur will not occur at the hand of God. They will occur at the hand of the prince of the power of the air. For Satan controls the weather, not God. But we have something to say about it in Jesus' name. We have something to say about natural forces coming against us. And although there will be great natural tragedies in 2008, there'll be great natural and supernatural blessings in the body of Christ, in you as individuals, and in us as a church corporately, and as a body worldwide, there'll be tremendous blessings. We will not fear. We are subject to a higher economy. Amen. Did you hear what the Spirit of God said? There will be natural tragedies that would shake you to your core if you didn't know better. Amen. And you will not fear when you hear of them. Amen. You just speak your blessing into the people in those areas. Amen. People who are walking in covenant with God will come out of these natural tragedies with tremendous testimonies. Amen. Just like when the World Trade Center went down. I don't know if you ever heard some of the testimonies that came out of that. Lives that were spared. People who didn't go to work. The subway operator who knew if I stop at a green light, I'll lose my job. But he knew stop, 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 stop. Underground, he stopped. And the tower slammed down into the ground right in front of him. And he said, something on the inside was telling me, yeah, you might lose your job for stopping at a green light underground, but you'll lose your life if you don't. Stopped it, saved the lives of everybody in there. It's going to be a year of following the red light, green light of the end of witness. It's going to be a year of faith, not a year of fear. For the gathering at Cape Cod. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm just going to read it to you, then I'll let you go. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, I'm not in a hurry. I'm not afraid of staying late. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm a man of faith. And I'm a woman of faith. Hallelujah. Do not therefore, Hebrews 10:35 in the Amplified Bible, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation and reward. Don't fling away your faith or your confidence. It carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full all that is promised. For still a little while, a very little while, in the coming one will come, and he will not delay, but the just shall live by
faith.
The just shall live by
faith.
The just shall live by faith. My righteous servant shall live by his conviction respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. We have a relationship to God and supernatural things in holy fervor born of faith and conjoined with it. You and Jesus, conjoined twins. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. Conjoined twins is what we are. Amen. We're conjoined with him. And if he draws back and shrinks in fear, my soul will have no delight or pleasure in him. But our way is not that of those who draw back to eternal misery, perdition, and sin, and are utterly destroyed. We are of those who believe, who cling to and trust in and rely on God through Jesus the Messiah, and by faith preserve our souls. Say faith.
Faith.
I love faith.
I love faith.
I despise fear.
I despise
fear. Say I'm a cowboy. If you're a woman, say I'm a cowgirl.
I'm a cowgirl.
I shoot fear.
I shoot fear.
Say it. Say I'm a cowgirl.
I'm a cowgirl.
I shoot fear.
I shoot fear.
Hallelujah. Let's stand up and worship God. Amen. It's going to be a year of faith, not a year of fear. This is a faith church. This is a word of faith church. It's not a word of fear church. Amen. There's no place for fear in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. We are free. We are free. We are free to operate in faith and to walk in love. We're His love slaves. Faith comes by hearing. It works by love. But it's released through the mouth. When fear comes, we will say, I will not fear. I am a person of faith in Jesus' name. And then start quoting the Word of God. Amen. Concerning whatever it is that Satan might be coming against you with. This is going to be. Oh, glory be to God. It's going to be a year of tremendous, tremendous increase. Increase, increase, supernatural increase in finances. In miracles, in revelation, in numbers, yes, people, growth, numerically, in this church. For we decree it. It is so, because we say it is so. A year of increase in salvation, here in this congregation, yes, but in our families as well. Supernatural increase. 2008, the year of the fullness of the blessing. The gifts in operation, unlike any time you personally have ever seen in all of your lives. Those who understand the gifts of the Spirit most operate in them the best. And you have come and will continue to come to an understanding of the gifts, and you will operate in them. You'll see them operate in your own life and in the lives of those around you, and you'll be able to recognize them when they are in operation. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing to be part of a Word of Faith church. A church that builds on the Word and builds on faith, and not a church that builds on religion and builds on fear. Oh, God, we thank You that You never get angry with us, God. Oh, God, we thank You that the Bible says, He who loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Oh, God, it's just not possible for You to not love us. God, help us in Jesus' name in 2008 to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord. Help us, God, to withstand fear when it comes, and to remember that You haven't given us the spirit of fear. You've given us power, You've given us love, and You've given us a sound mind in Christ Jesus. We are free, free, free to walk by faith, free to be blessed physically, financially, emotionally, socially, and in every realm of our existence. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm not going on and on in the flesh. I'm decreeing over you by the Spirit of God. And if you believe it, you will receive it. Because this is how it works. Glory. We are free. Say, I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free of fear.
I'm free of fear.
I'm free of poverty.
I'm free of poverty.
I'm free of condemnation.
I'm free of condemnation.
I'm free of sickness.
I'm free of sickness.
And that's the way it'll remain.
And that's the way it'll remain.
It is so.
It is so.
Because I say it is so.
Because I say it is so.
In Jesus' strong name. Barbara, what number are we singing? Hallelujah. Let's sing We Are Free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number 6. Hallelujah. 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 Then we're going to ask Barbara Pichelle to close in prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. If you would please, Barbara. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go out of here rejoicing. Wonderful things ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
To praise You, we are free.
Yes, we are free.
To praise.
Oh, God, we praise You. We love You.
We are free.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
To praise.